that's when I got into, like, you know, my love for Walt Disney, and it mm-hmm. brought me and my wife closer. I've said this on a few different shows. Disney's the constant in my family. I mean, we got married. I have my two daughters.
Yeah.
Took them there all the time. My kids are all about Disney.
Welcome to the show. I am, of course, the Wolf of Disney. And today, folks, Wolfpack, I am joined by the one, the only, Mr. Sean Williams, host of Walt's Apartment at the Extra Magic Hour and, of course, the Marvel Tribe. First and foremost, Sean, thank you so much for being here and hanging out with me today. I really, really, really appreciate it. You're on the West Coast, so I know you got to get up a little bit earlier than usual. And I really appreciate you hanging out. So welcome to the Wolf Den, sir.
Oh, thank you so much, sir. Nice to finally be on. I appreciate the invitation a while back, and we finally were able to figure it out. So thanks for having me.
No, absolutely. I've been a fan of yours for quite some time now. And, you know, I think one of the things that I truly love about your show is it's interactive. You're always interacting with the people that are watching, and you have quite the crew. So I'd love to.
So first, you listened to our last episode.
Oh, yes, of course. I did. You have quite the crew, indeed.
Yes, I do.
So the first thing that I'd love to do is tell us a little bit about how your podcast got started. Tell us, you know, all about those wonderful things, because you've got a number of different shows that you're a part of, which I think is right. Really, really cool.
Well, again, Ethan, thank you so much for having me on. Like I said, we've been talking about this for a while, even back before the trivia game and stuff. So I'm glad we could finally figure it out. Me and you are kind of in the same business, so our schedules kind of, you know, are a little messed up there.
A little hectic.
Yeah. So the way Walt's Apartment started was that back in 2019, I was part of another podcast called The D-Cast. I was asked to be part of that, and I'd never done podcasting before. And I did that for about a year and a half until July of 2020. We were still doing that and going along. And there was just a time when I decided I want to do something on my own. So I stepped away from the D-Cast and decided I was going to do my own thing. And so got it started and made some great friends there. You know, Andy, David, Amber, Chris, Brooke was part of it. Just so many people are part of it, because that's just the idea of, I like the idea of a big group. I think it's a big group of people talking together. It creates for a lot more, you know, conversation and criticism, whatever you want to say. So once I left the D-Cast, Amber and David and Chris all said, hey, we'll do both. We love you. We support you. We'll do both. So I'm like, all right, that's cool. So I started Walt's Apartment podcast. It's always a name I've always wanted, because I'm a huge, you know me, I'm a huge, huge Walt Disney fan himself. So I was trying to think of something that was different, and honestly, that wasn't on Apple iTunes already, because I like just searched on there. So I searched for this name, that was on there. I searched for this name, that was on there. And I said, what about Walt's Apartment? So I searched that, and nothing's in there, except there's a couple interviews about Walt's Apartment. So I'm like, okay. So I named it Walt's Apartment Podcast, and then we started getting going with it. We planned it for a few weeks, but our plan was to start in late July, early August. And we got it started. We did the first episode, which was kind of like our welcome episode, which wasn't even really an episode. It was just an episode where the four of us got together. So Amber, David, Chris, and myself started it.
Yeah.
So then we got together. We did a welcome. I'm Sean. I'm Chris. I'm David. I'm Amber. And here's our things. Here's who we like. This is our families. This blah, blah, blah. So we did that. And then following week, we had our very first actual episode, which we recorded on a Sunday night, and we recorded it, and everything was great. Got done doing my thing, editing it. I put it out there into the Buzzsprout world and said, hey, here's our first actual episode. Mm-hmm. That Monday night, unfortunately, middle of the night, got a text from Chris's daughter that he just suddenly passed away. So just mm-hmm. out of the blue, Chris passes away, and my world's completely just shot, because Chris was like one of my best friends at that time. And we would talk every single day. I talked to him hours before he even passed away because he worked at night and I was always up late. And he would say, got to go to effing work, blah, blah, blah. Have a good night. I'll talk to you tomorrow. And then, you know, in the middle of the night, there was messages and I didn't get the message because my phone was muted. So I didn't find out until the morning. So when I found out, I look at my phone and all I get was Chris Brown passed away overnight. And I'm thinking that's Chris Brown, the thing. It didn't even compute with me. You know what I mean? Yeah. So David, who was my host on the Marvel Tribe with me, took it really hard. We both took it really hard. The three of us were really, really close. So David took it hard. I obviously took it hard. And we kind of were at a point where what's going to happen at this point? You know what I mean? And we just started this and that really wasn't even a thought. I mean, in my head it was like, crap, what's going to happen with this? But I'll shelve it for a while. I don't care.
Sure.
So that day, like I said, it was a Tuesday morning and I found out, I get a message from Chris's daughter, who her dad passed away less than 12 hours ago, and says, hey, I got something for you that my dad would like you to have. And I'm like, why would you be reaching out to me right now? You have so much more on your plate right now and you don't need to be dealing with this. She goes, no, you really need to have this. And I'm like, okay. Well, whenever you're ready. She's like, I'll be over tonight. I'm like, okay. So she comes over and she has, Chris did our intros for our shows. He was the voice of our show. He's basically the host. He would moderate. He would run everything. It'd all go through Chris. We tell him what we want to talk about. He'd run it. So she brings over a frame and I'm like, what's this? And I look at it and in his writing, it's a, you know, regular piece of paper is the script from the night before when he did the opening, you know, what he wrote, cause he always wrote everything down.
Yep.
And at that point I completely lost it. So I went in my bedroom, lost it, finally had my moment where, holy crap, Chris is gone. What am I going to, you know, what am I going to do if my friend's gone? And that was the biggest thing to me. You know what I mean? So we went, I think a couple of weeks where I think we actually decided, and I talked to Chris's family and they said, yeah, we want to, he would love for you to continue because Chris loved podcasting. It was this thing. We did him and David did the Marvel Tribe for the D-Cast. That's where it started. I'm trying to think of me and Chris was kind of a crude guy, and so was David, and so am I outside of the Disney stuff. Sure. We actually had a podcast called This Is the End, which we came up with, which was just us just going off, and we could cuss and we could say whatever the heck we wanted, and it was so much fun. So we decided to go on with the show. Mm-hmm. I decided that I had recordings of Chris doing the opening. So I asked his wife, Joy, I said, can I please use Chris's voice forever? Yeah. And she said, oh my God, absolutely. He would love that. So if you listen to our show, you know that the first 35 seconds is Chris doing the opening with the Goofy movie soundtrack. So, but that's how it started. And then our very first show, it was me, Amber, and my finance manager, Tim, who decided to come on with us and be part of it. And it was a weird couple of weeks. We did a few shows by ourselves. David was still not ready to come back at the time. So, and we're like, dude, totally respect that. Whenever you want to come back, and we love you and we support you and whatever you need. Mm-hmm. So we did a few shows on our own. Then Andy, who was the former owner of the D-Cast, reached out to me separately and said, look, I can't do this anymore. I don't have the passion to do Disney podcasting anymore. I have other passions I want to pursue. And I'm like, okay, I'm sorry to hear that. He goes, but I want to give you the D-Cast. And I'm like, wait a minute, what do you mean give me the D-Cast? I said, I just started my own podcast and there's, you know, he said, I'll give you the RSS feed. I'll give you everything. You have the pages, the Instagram pages, everything. But I want to be a part of it whenever I want to come on. I'm like, dude, it's your show. It's, you know, so technically, he said he wants to be technical producer, basically. I'm like, whatever you want. He actually created the opening with Chris. So that's another special thing to me. Andy actually created that. So if I'm rambling, tell me, because I can talk all day. So
no, keep going, buddy.
Okay.
I'm happy listening, dude.
Okay. So we do that and we start. And then at Chris's memorial, we all kind of got together. And that's the first time I'd seen Andy or anyone in a long time because we've been doing everything remotely. And, you know, we had our moment. Everyone had our moment, but, you know. After that, it just ramped up. I told Andy, I said, I'll do it. I'll take over the D-Cast, but I'm changing the name. I said, I have to change the name. And he said, it's yours. Do what you want. And the reason I changed the name was because I have Chris's recording calling it Walt's Apartment. And it meant a lot to me because he helped me come up with that name and thought, he said, that's a badass name. You know, that's so cool. That's people don't like that. That's going to be different. I'm like, all right, cool. So we started that. For a while, it was me, Amber, Tim. It was me. For quite a while, David would pop in every now and then. Middle, I want to say mid fall, maybe right before, or maybe October-ish. I get a message from this guy on Twitter named Sean, and he says, "Hey, Skyler reached out and was wondering if I can maybe be a writer on the DisneySider.com with you." I'm like, "Dude, it's Skyler's website. Why are you asking me?" You know? And he's like, "Also," right. He says, "Also, I know that you have a podcast. I would love to be part of it. I love podcasting, blah, blah, blah." You know, Sean. He's amazing. But let me backtrack for a second. When me and Andy had our conversation, we decided to have a conversation before we released the first Waltz Apartment as the DCast. And we did like a 17-minute podcast, just two of us talking about Chris, talking about what the moving forward, how it was going to be. And then Brianna, who had always watched, messaged me on the Instagram page and says, "Hey, I've always wanted to try this. If you ever decide to get," because I said in that interview with Andy, I want to get Extra Magic Hour back somehow because it's my passion. I'm a parks guy. I love the parks. And and she messaged me and said, "Hey, if you ever get to this point and you want to do something, I would love to. I go to both parks. I could maybe throw some intel in there." I'm like, "Okay." And I told her, I said, "Look, at this time, I don't know what I'm doing. Yeah, I hope you understand." So with Sean coming on board, it just made sense. I messaged Brianna that same day and said, "What about, you said you want to do this 2 months ago. Are you still in?" So the Extra Magic Hour comes back. So now we have our core here. Before when I first started this, my goal is always to, like you said, interact with people. So we do live streams now. We do live streams every Wednesday night at 6:30 on Facebook, 6:30 Pacific time or Disneyland Standard Time, whatever you want to call it. But and which has gotten me to reach out to so many more people and meet so many more people. The people that helped me get there to do the live streams was Bill and Barry from Airbnb. They were a huge support when Chris passed away, and they have just been kind of there for me all the time. You know what I mean? They are just really good guys, really good dudes. And I love them. And I thank them for me being able to do the, because I didn't know what StreamYard was. How do you go on Facebook and do live and talk to listeners? This is crazy. You know, I want to do this. So they helped me get through all that. They helped me set up with Buzzsprout, because I asked them, "What do you guys use to do a podcast? Because I've never done it. Andy did all this."
Yeah.
You know, and they're like, "Well, you know, we were on Anchor before. You're on Anchor." And
I am. Yep.
Yeah. And I was like, "I don't know about Anchor." Again, I always have the statistics on there. I like them. I thought they were easy. They're very easy. Because when we did This Is the End, I would use Anchor as well because it was easy and it was free. Exactly. But I wanted this to be, you know, and I asked Bill and Barry so many times, "What do you guys think?" And like, "Well, there's this one, there's that one, there's this one." And they said, "Try Buzzsprout." So I tried it. I love it. I love it. I'm not an editor, so it's nice to have the thing on there that you can actually master, edit stuff, and like change the levels. So moving forward, Bill and Barry are great guys. I love them. I owe a lot to them for helping me get this started.
That's awesome.
Through Bill and Barry, I meet Samantha. So yeah. Samantha is a big friend of their show, a big contributor on their show, and she is smart as hell, knows everything. So I meet her, and during this, we have Amber, who's part of our show, who before she used to do a Knights of the Rogue Republic with a bunch of women for a woman-led Star Wars podcast. Amber brings on her daughter, Jade. Yeah. So now they started off doing the Mandalorian Mondays, where they would just break down the Mandalorian. Now they do Force Friday, which I love. I get so much response from everyone about how cool Amber and Jade are being a mom and daughter team.
Yeah.
And just geeking out about Star Wars. So we got Force Friday in there. So that brings me to my next one, which is I wanted to add a little more to Extra Magic Hour. I wanted to have some features and people that just absolutely love the parks. And that brings in Sam. So I asked Sam, and I know she was busy. I mean, she's a school teacher. She helps Bill and Barry with their editing. She helps them do so much stuff. And I said, "Sam, if you want to do this, the offer's there. I would love for you to come on Extra Magic Hour. It's every other week. It's an hour." And she's jumped in full force and has been a huge help. It's nice now. So that's where we are. So we have all these, I have an amazing team.
Yes.
I have people that I can rely on, which I love, that I can say, "Hey, can someone do this?" And it's amazing to have a group of eight people step forward. "I'll do that. I'll do that." So that's the Waltz Apartment story. If it made any sense, it took like 10 minutes to talk about, but I love them so much, and they all know that. And I tell them that every day, and they we're working on a website right now.
Yeah.
That's and, awesome. So it'll be waltzapt.com. Check it out. So it should be done. It should be done by the time this comes out. So but we're working on our bios right now. Mm-hmm. And I put in my bio, you know, it's funny how Maui says that, without my hook, I'm nothing. And my last line of my bio was, without my team, I'd be nothing, because it's the truth. I could not do this on my own. Kudos to you for doing it on your own. I mean, that's good for you to be able to do that. But to manage eight people and three to four different shows a week, there's no way I could do it on my own. But they step up, help me out. So that's our story, and we're sticking to it.
No, that's awesome. I think I think one thing that stuck out to me and that I really love is you know, your testament and your sort of tribute to Chris and keeping his voice on there. And you know, I listened to the DCast a long time ago when I first like went to the parks and was just trying to like find more content to sort of bring myself into the bubble. Right. And then when it changed over to Walt's apartment, I think I actually remember that Andy episode where you two were talking about the change and what was going to be happening. Yeah. He was going off to do something with outdoors or something like that.
Yeah, he does the hiker podcast, which he's doing really well with it, which I wish him all the luck. And
yeah.
And we talk every now and then. I'll just message him, hey, you want to come on? And well, you know, and he's a freelance, he creates commercials. He's a film. He's a graduate film student. So he does a lot of like film work. And he's like, oh, I got this going this week. And we've reached out and talked, and he's going to come on eventually. It's just when he feels like it, when he wants to. I mean, it's got to be hard to get with something you did for 7 years. I mean, it was his podcast for 7 years, and he just gave it to me, you know, and I thank him for that. You know, I didn't ask for it, but I when I was with the DCast, I gained some fans that knew who I was. And, you know, it's not that I needed that. I could have gotten them myself, but just the fact that he wanted to keep it going. He knew that I would keep it going because I have a drive and like a determination that drives people crazy. Sure. I think it's because the business I'm in, for one. I don't accept no. You know, just, you know, being a car salesman, you can't accept no. It's just and you're a sales manager, so you can't accept no from your salesman. So it's the same thing. And I would just I ask people for interviews. I'll do this, I'll reach out and do this, like the website, like the live streaming. It's was never even a thought before. But when the times we're in right now, it's you got to do it. I mean,
you got it.
And I love it. We've met so many people. I met you through there.
Yep.
I met Mark. I met James. I met everyone from your guys's crew, which was able to bring everyone together to do the trivia challenge, which without doing that, I would have never gotten closer to Bill, Barry, and Sam. So I never would have gotten Sam on the team as well. So it all worked out for everyone, I think. So
absolutely. And, you know, to sort of touch on that, you know, I think for me, you know, I had the opportunity to sit down with Bill and Barry, and they're funny, they're personal, they're easy to get along with. They're super, super nice guys. And then I also had the opportunity to sit down with Sam before, you know, before we actually all sat down for the game. And, truly they were just awesome, awesome people. And I think, you know, and I've talked about this a lot, and I love that this outlet, this medium has allowed me to meet people like you who are on the West Coast. You know, if it weren't for this, I don't know that I ever would have met. So it's it really is pretty incredible how, you know, we've come so far to sort of interact with one another. I think
I remember even like when we first started the live streams, you were one of the first people that were making comments and stuff. I'm like, oh, Ethan, and and then who's this guy? And then we started talking a little bit on the side, and just everything works. I think everything happens for a reason.
Me too.
I'm not saying Chris passing away happened for a reason, but maybe it did, because it brought a lot of people together. And I think he would be so proud of what we're doing, because he had such a love for it. And especially that the Marvel tribe is back.
Yeah.
That was his baby, and he loved that. And I think I don't know if I told Mark this story, but sitting down next to him watching you know, Endgame, we all went to watch Endgame together, and sitting next to him, and when Captain America picks up that sword and it flies back in his hand, and Chris is in his chair, and Chris is a big dude, and he's like, yes, yes. You ever see that meme of the little kid like shaking his hand saying yes? It reminds me of Chris, because he was so excited about this. He's like, no, you know, and just And I love him. I love them all. And they, like I said, my team is amazing. I would not do this if I didn't have any of them on my team. So I can talk about them the whole hour if you want, but it's they are absolutely amazing people. And they all have their parts, but I am so happy. You talk about Marvel Tribe, and I'm so happy that David's back, because I know David has a huge passion, and David, I would put up against anyone when it comes to knowledge for Marvel. I'm like, you know, we sit there when I'm recording the podcast, you know, it's right now it's me and David and Sam are the three. And then we had Bill on last week, and Bill might become part of it more. And we're going to have Barry on this week. So it's going to be a Marvel Tribe B&B. We're going to have both Bill and Barry on when we record. So I'm excited for it. I sit there and I just like with my mouth open when we're recording that because I don't, what the hell are you talking? Who's this? Who's that? And I don't know. So that's what I do. I watch a bunch of Marvel stuff now trying to catch up with them like looking at theories and reading stuff and trying to figure out, cause I got to kind of act like I know what I'm talking about. I can't just talk about how hot Wanda is all the time. It doesn't work, you know?
and here's what I'll say, you know, I do the Marvel Mondays with Brian and Mark and now Mark as well. And I'm sort of like the Doctor Strange because we've got two Bryans, two Marks, and I'm just eating it. And you know, I'm sort of in the same boat. Like I've been watching. I really enjoy it. My wife, who has never seen a Marvel movie in her entire life, likes it too. So like we get to watch it together. And I'm sort of in the same boat. Like I'm amazed when Brian Lee and Brian Ferguson start talking. I'm just like, how do you see all these things? How do you pick up on all of this? How do you like, without just like taking it in for what it is, it really is incredible, to sort of see, especially those big Marvel fans and Blurred Hulk. I mean, my goodness, when he talks too, it's just one of those moments where I'm just like,
No, that's me. That's me all the time, dude. And then Sam can hold her own with him. Bill comes in with stuff. And I'm like, where do you guys get all this crap? Because I don't understand any of it. I saw Wanda get mad and throw a drone at someone. That's what I saw. Yeah. You know, she's mad. Like, stay away from her. That's it. You know,
but that's all. So
I'm trying to reach into it more and dive into it. Now I'm pulling my own theories and guesses, which is fun because
it is fun.
It makes for good
talking points. Because at that point you're sort of just taking a not necessarily wild, because I think for two people like us, we're smart enough to put some pieces together, uh-huh. but not necessarily like understand all of the elements that are also still in play. And I've really enjoyed WandaVision for what it is. Mm-hmm. But I think for me, I've especially enjoyed watching people that really love Marvel enjoy it and take it in for what it is as well. I think
that's totally agree.
And what's really cool about Marvel is there's so much more coming on top of that. I mean, there's movies coming out. Doctor Strange 2 is coming. So there's a lot of things in play that I think will play into the whole universe. And I'll be really excited to see how that works out too.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I have my theories on stuff, but I read a lot of stuff and I watch a lot of videos on just trying to pick pieces out of there. So like I said, I can kind of act like I know what I'm talking about when we do the show, but it's crazy and how much stuff, the details that in that show. I'm almost 50 years old. So I remember the Brady Bunch. I remember watching I Love Lucy. So to see these things and Partridge Family and mm-hmm. then the last one, Family Ties, it was a huge Family Ties tie-in. And you're just like, damn, I watched all this stuff, you know, and it's cool to see how they do it and the details that they do it. I saw one video that they said that the couch in this last episode had one blue cushion on it. Because in Family Ties, there was one blue cushion on their couch. And they just, whoever made this show, Matt Shankman or Adam Shankman? One of those two.
Yeah, I think it's Adam Shankman, I believe.
But I mean, just the detail into it is absolutely insane. So
I agree. It really is pretty insane how it all ties in, how it all works together. And I didn't grow up in that era, but my parents loved the Brady Bunch. They loved I Love mm-hmm. Lucy. Like Nickelodeon at night was like one of that was the show that was on if I was allowed to stay up late, unless the Boston Bruins were on, and then that's what I was watching. But you know, it's just one of those things that it is. It's very, very well thought out. It's very well written, which I love the art of writing. I went to school for that, and that to me it is. It's very, very impressive. You know, just how much detail, I got to agree, how much detail is going into the show, for sure.
Oh, for sure. Like, I mean, are we talking about the show at all? You want to a little bit or no?
Yeah, we can a little. Okay. It's Tuesday now at this point.
So that's what I'm saying. That's it. But I think the fight at the end of the last episode, like when she just walks away and the crowd kind of laughs and she just goes like this and the credits start. That's good stuff, man. And then like when she opens the door and Pietro, if it's him, is standing there. Yeah. It's a, you know, and the crowd laughs, and I'm like, damn, I love that, because it's just those canned laughs, and I think the way it's done is perfect. So
absolutely, yeah.
I don't think it's Pietro.
I don't think it is either, but the way that the fight starts and the credits start to roll, and you're right, it's so well thought out, because That would never happen in an American sitcom. It would never happen where the mom and dad are fighting. And, you know, that's the part that's seen on TV. So it is, it's such a creative story. And then you have Darcy, who's like, she recast Pietro. Like, right, it's so interesting. Like, I sort of start to feel like Jimmy Woo and Darcy at times, where I'm just like, they're just as confused as we are.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And let's be honest, that show's not hard on the eyes either. So, I mean, it's fun to watch. So, I mean, for multiple reasons, but I mean, it's,
yes, you know, absolutely. I'm still waiting for the devil costume.
I think it's this week.
Yes. I'm excited for that. I'm excited for that for sure. So I got to ask, you know, obviously WandaVision's on the tip of our tongue right now, but is there anything else that you're watching, whether it's Disney Plus, Hulu, or, HBO? I just like talking about what people are watching. I'm always curious.
That's funny. I don't watch a lot of TV cause I get home kind of late. If I do watch something where me and my wife are binge watching something, or like, we just got into The Masked Singer, which I never even heard of this show. I've heard of it, but I never, you know, she started one episode, and when I got home the other night, she was finishing the season. I'm like, what? You didn't wait for me. So, yeah. But it's kind of cool. Disney Plus wise, I watch a lot of Marvel stuff now, cause I try to just get, things at the end of every WandaVision episode, they like recommend Age of Ultron. So I've watched that once again in this past couple of weeks. I'm on the fourth time watching the Imagineer story, cause I'll watch it whenever. I just started that again this week, cause I just love it. I love classic Walt Disney stuff, and Walt Disney Building Disneyland is the everything. You know, how it happened, why it happened, what he did to make it happen. You know, we're going to talk about that. So, I mean, but yeah, that's my admiration for Walt Disney, and just to see that all this came from his mind, or most of it came from his mind, and then that everyone carried on his thought to do more. You know,
it's pretty incredible to me when I watch the Imagineering story that Walt is only in like really the first and maybe even like the second episode. And then the rest of it is about the Imagineers who sort of lived on and kept his dream alive. That to me is so incredible that this group of people were able to come together sort of as a team and say, okay, this was the vision. We've got to make it live on. And I think that's so incredible to me that Walt plays a very little, I mean, he still plays a big role. Don't get me wrong, but within that series, it's a rather smaller role compared to, you know, what we think and know of him. Yeah. So very, very, very good. I really enjoy that as well. I think I've watched it now twice through, and I actually just started the first and second episode at work a couple of days ago, on a quiet night. I had it in the background. So, it definitely is. It's very good storytelling, which is what Disney is so good at.
Oh, absolutely. And the nice thing about that, like you mentioned the Imagineers and stuff like that, the fact that like when Sam came on to Extra Magic Hour, she has a lot of connections with Imagineers. I don't know how she has these connections, but she knows everything about all of them. And so every week we have her do, or every other week we have her do a feature, and she's done Mark Davis and she's done Claude Coates so far, which I don't know where she gets information, but the stories she has, I mean, they're great. And that was kind of why, and there's so many Imagineers, we can do Imagineer features for years. So I'm not worried about content when it comes to that, but she's going through the main ones right now. Mark Davis, who was one of the first nine with Walt, and, you know, Claude Coates and his challenges with doing this and doing that and working. Stuff blows my mind. The park stuff blows my mind. How anyone could think of that stuff. So.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible that, you know, because Bill and Barry just recently had Jason Sorrell on. I mean, that was incredible too. And here's what I found so incredible about that, and I shared that with them as well, is just the amount of stories that he had that were probably either like passed down or whatever the case may have been. Like, that to me is so incredible all that information sort of just gets shared. And then it can be shared to people like us who are like, oh, wow.
Yeah. When he's telling the story about sitting in ex Atencio's living room.
Yeah.
You know, talking about the day they found out Walt died and what they all were going to do. And, you know, then ex Atencio calls him and says, "You're a good boy, Jason." You know, after the book came out, you know, it's ex Atencio's amazing. So I love ex Atencio. So it is.
It's pretty cool. And I shared with them one of the readings that I had to do when I was in writing, when I was in school, was his screenwriting book. We actually read that book, which I thought it was really cool that that he, you know, was on that show. And I was like, oh my God, like I remember reading his book. And you know, he even said it himself that it wasn't necessarily anything new, but and it also talks about how there's no real like Disney formula, but it was really cool to sort of see his perspective on certain films and certain ways that a story is really built. And I thought that was really cool. So
it's
neat stuff.
Indeed.
So Sean, I do want to jump into your knowledge because you have such a vast amount of knowledge. I consider myself the wolf of Walt Disney World, but if there was a wolf of Disneyland, that would be you, sir. I'm serious. We're going to get into sort of your Disneyland story with your wife a little bit later on, but what are some of the things I sort of wrote down here? What are some of the things that sort of sets Disneyland apart for you from, you know, whether it's going on another vacation or, you know, what really sets Disneyland apart for you?
It's a loaded question. I mean, there's a few things. Like I've mentioned, my admiration for Walt Disney is as top of that list. We're going to talk about in a little bit how I used to go there so much when I was a kid. And, but the Walt Disney aspect of it, to just when I was going there all the time, I'm like, who the hell built this? You know, because I didn't really know at that time because I was a kid, and then started diving into that a little bit and knowing and find out who Walt Disney was. And the fact that you tell the guy no, he just comes up with a different plan. You know, when he wanted to build Disneyland, the studios are in Burbank, California, which is right next to the 101 and the 134 freeway. I mean, 134 freeway goes right next to their studios. And he wanted to build a theme park right across the highway from his studios, just like an eight to 10 acre little theme park. And basically for his employees. And so if you ever heard of Griffith Park in California,
yeah,
Griffith Park Observatory, you see it in all the stuff down there. Yeah. So it's a park right there. It's right next to LA Zoo. It's all around this mountain. And he wanted to build this little theme park on the outside of it. And the city of Burbank said, no way. There's no way you're going to build that there. It's they attract a carnival atmosphere. They bring a bad crowd, and we don't want that in our area. So Walt's like, okay, screw you. I'll do something else. And moves, you know, finds this 100 acres in Anaheim, which at that time no one knew even what it was. Basically, it's just orange fields. He bought this grove of oranges and started his dream. And, you know, it's just the admiration for him. So what sets it apart for me, to get back to your question, is that Walt Disney created it. So Walt Disney had the idea of Walt Disney World and Epcot, but did not do it himself. Epcot as it stands today is not what Walt wanted. It's not what his vision was, which I get. We talked about this on Extra Magic Hour, how his vision couldn't have even been done basically because of what he wanted. Great idea. But I think if he'd have been around for a few more years, he would have found a way to get most of that done. He's just that kind of guy. You know, he comes up with a $5 million budget to build this theme park, and it winds up being $17 million because he keeps getting better ideas. Had to mortgage his house to build the Mark Twain because they didn't have enough money to finish the Mark Twain boat.
Right.
And so that's the biggest thing that puts it a different between the other places. They all have his name on them, which I think is great. That's a great respect to him. And it should be that way. But to walk into Disneyland and to see everywhere that Walt Disney has been, and you know, I know stories about different walls and different things that he's done there, you know.
Yeah,
his apartment's there. Walt's apartment's there, which is the name of my podcast for many reasons. Because I admire him so much, and it's I consider it like one of the center locations in Disneyland. You walk into Disneyland, you look off to the left, and Walt's apartment is right there over the firehouse. And you know, there's the light in the window that, whenever Walt was in Disneyland, whenever they were building, or when he was there when it was open, the light would be on, so the cast members knew, hey, I'm here. Because he always wanted people to know he was there. He didn't care. He wanted his people to know he was there and to be on their toes when he's around. So now the light's always on,
that's pretty cool.
Which is pretty cool. And it's, you know, that I mean, that's what puts Disneyland aside from anything else to me, is that Walt Disney himself actually built most of that, you know.
That's awesome. So I guess from there, I guess the question would be, and I'm sure I know the answer, but are there moments when you're walking around or when you're sitting somewhere, and do you just, I'm getting chills just thinking about it, but do you think like Walt was sitting here at one point and maybe he was thinking about something or dreaming about something? So I guess the question is, what are some of the areas that that, and I'm sure, you know, walking by Walt's apartment over near the firehouse is one of them, but are there other areas in the park
that's really
hit that?
So there's, so there's Walt. I mean, you walk in, you walk through the turnstile of Disneyland, and, you know, Walt's idea of Disneyland was to make it like a movie theater or to make it like its own world. So once you get into this world, the whole outside is gone, and they've done an amazing job doing that. You don't see what's beyond the walls because you're in this immersive land. So you walk in, my sign right here above me, that's the first thing you see when you walk in. There's the train station right there, just like at Walt Disney World, I'm assuming. And you walk through, and there's the sign that says, leave the world of today and enter the world, you know. So yeah, it's over my shoulder, so but whatever. But I always stop there. I look at it. My 21-year-old son, you crying yet, Dad? No, not yet. Yeah. You know, every time. For some reason, we always walk to the left because there's two ways to get in. You walk to the left. And you walk through the tunnel there. And as you're walking through the tunnel, it gets quiet. You're not hearing the outside world. You start hearing music. Music's piped into the tunnel. It gets louder and louder and louder. And once you walk into the entrance right there of where the flag and everything is, it's just Disneyland and the music. And the flag is right there. Off to your right is Lincoln, is the Great Moments with Mr. Lincoln. But I'm just going on and on. Sorry. But
No, please.
Back over your shoulder is the train. That's Walt Disney, huge train guy. Loved trains. That was the start of everything was trains. And then to your left, obviously, like you said, you're standing there, right there. Walt's apartment is right there. If I'm wearing a hat, I'll do a little nod because that's just who I am. That's just, you know, that's just the respect for Walt Disney. It's always there. And I mean, you know me, I have Walt Disney tattooed on my arm. So, I mean, I totally respect the guy. So,
yeah, absolutely.
There's so many places. I have a picture that I put up. It's a picture of Walt Disney sitting on a bench. And I put up on our page a couple weeks ago. He's sitting on a bench, and over his shoulder is the apartment.
Yeah.
That bench is there. There's also his other pictures that I've seen where he's like leaning on the railing of the train station, and it's like partially black and white, and it goes into color, and then off over his shoulder is the apartment again. So just these things. I've stood in that spot. If you go into the Great Moments with Mr. Lincoln, which, you know, that was the first actual building built at Disneyland because it was their lumber warehouse. It's where they did everything for it. So if you walk in there, basically outside of, before you go into the Great Moments with Mr. Lincoln, is just a, it's like a homage, I would say, or a tribute to Walt building Disneyland. The way he came up with the idea was Griffith Park. He was sitting there with his kids on a Saturday. He took his daughters to, you know, Griffith Park every Saturday. And he said, why can't I do this? And that bench that he was sitting on is there.
Oh, wow. At
Disneyland. So that's kind of cool. And
that's really cool.
You see that. I mean, you walk, and then you just walk down Main Street, and you know Walt liked to eat chili from this place. And Walt, you know, if you go down Main Street, there's a bunch of little, like, alleys, I guess you call them, that, like dip into different things. Mm-hmm. There's one wall that you walk up to. And I don't know why they left it this way, but there's a wall that is bricks going one certain way, like with a certain texture, then, you know, half of this other thing. They did that so Walt could decide how he wanted the bricks to be. They never took it down. It's just, and it's still there. So you can go up and, you know, the castle obviously is one because that's the first castle. I mean, that's
right.
Walt on that castle. I mean, I can go on and on about places in there. Yeah. Over in by the Rivers of America, the it's kind of funny, but the petrified tree. Have you ever heard that story?
No. I have.
Yeah. So there's a, I want to say it's going up through Frontierland over to New Orleans Square. And there's a huge petrified tree in the middle of this. And it's just like, why is this here? And then you got to read the thing. And it says that, Walt gave this to his wife for a anniversary gift. And like, what the hell am I going to do with this? Put it in the park, because she didn't know what to do. I mean, it was like, it's huge. It's like a petrified, it's huge. And it's just funny. That is cool. Just so many things, you know. Mark Twain, you know, he built that, and that's there. I can go on and on. So that question, you can stand anywhere and say, oh, he was probably here at one time.
Yeah,
you know, up above Pirates of the Caribbean, they have it was going to be a bigger apartment. That was being built when he passed away. It was going to be for him, his family, and Roy's family, because obviously they were getting bigger. The families are getting bigger, and that's still there. If you look up in the railing above Pirates of the Caribbean, you can see Walt's initials and Roy's initials in the iron on the fence.
Oh, wow.
Because it was going to be their spot where they would come with their families and hang out. It's still there, but it's now you have to pay a lot of money to go there. Or if Johnny Depp's there, he gets to hang out there. So, know, stuff like that. But
That's really cool. Very cool.
Answer your question, yes, everything is tied sure to him.
That to me, I think is so. I haven't been to Disneyland. I've lived vicariously through, you know, YouTube videos,
right,
and then obviously conversations through Walt's apartment and talking about being there. And, you know, for me, it is on the bucket list to get over there and just sort of look around and, you know, sort of see the different attractions that he had his hand in, like,
oh, yeah,
you know, like Pirates of the Caribbean, you know, things like that. Just, it's a small world. You know, obviously I've done them at Walt Disney World, but it would be so amazing and incredible to see, you know, those attractions, those areas. Like the thing about the bricks, that was really neat.
Yeah.
You know, just the amount of thought process that went into so creating and putting together, you know, this whole universe, really,
right,
to me is really, really cool. And you talk a little bit about, you know, stepping into a different world, and that is so, you know, so spot on. I think no matter where you go, whether it's, you know, Disneyland in this sense or Magic Kingdom, there is that moment where you feel like you cross over into a barrier, and it just sort of like sucks you in, kind of like Wanda's hex. You know, you just get sucked in, and you're in a whole different world for, you know, whether it's a couple of days or a couple of hours, whatever it may be. And that to me is really, really incredible. So with all that said, what are some of your favorite attractions over at Disneyland? Now, obviously, Sean Nyberg and the Disney Insider have a nice little poll going on right now for us to sort of make those decisions. But obviously, with that, you know, they're very difficult. So what are your
very difficult. Are you talking just Disneyland or the whole resort?
Now here's the question. So there's two separate areas. Do I have that right?
Yeah.
So maybe explain a little bit about that. And do you have a favorite one in each one?
Oh yeah. Well, the funny thing is that Disneyland is about 50 to 60 acres itself, just the park itself. And then there's an esplanade in the middle, and then off to the left of the esplanade, if you're standing facing Disneyland, looking at the train station. So imagine this, you look at the trains going by, you see the flower Mickey on the hill, just like at Magic Kingdom. Yep. Down the left is Downtown Disney, which is basically your equivalent of Disney Springs.
Disney Springs. Yep.
Same kind of idea. So if you're standing in the middle of this esplanade looking at Disneyland, if you turn around, right behind you is Disney's California Adventure,
which
used to be Disneyland's parking lot.
Oh, wow.
So when it first, I remember when I was a kid, you'd park in the parking lot and you'd be literally 30, 40 feet from the ticket window and just walk across the thing and just walking up there and you're just there. So yeah, it's very cool to have them both there. What was the question again? What are my favorites?
Favorite rides. We'll start there.
Favorite rides. And I'll go with California Adventure first, because I usually just have one or two over there. California Adventure was came out, I think it opened in 2001. I want to think of the day. Just celebrated the 20th anniversary, like just a couple weeks ago. You know, they have a Tower of Terror. They had a Tower of Terror like there is at Hollywood Studios. They now have called Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout.
Oh, wow.
Which is themed off of Guardians of the Galaxy. It's probably one of the most fun rides I go on. Basically, it's not just the up and down like Tower of Terror. It goes to music.
Oh, wow.
There's six different songs that they play, and they're all old songs, like from the 70s.
Nice.
Like from the movie, I know Burn in Love, which I'm a huge Elvis fan, is one of them.
Yep.
And then there's a show on the screens as you go up and down. You go up and down and you don't know, but the elevator never stops moving. So you're always kind of bouncing, then you'll shoot back up, you'll shoot back down. So much fun. The theming they do with that is basically Tyvon's, is it the Tyvon? It's Tyvon collection.
So. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, yeah. And in there you walk into the queue, and all it is all these different things you would think of from anywhere. They have the original Harold from Matterhorn, just tucked up in the corner. Figment is in a box. You can't see him, but you can kind of just see that Figment's in a box. Everyone freaks out about that. I don't really know who Figment is, but I kind of understand who he is, but he's in a box. Everyone freaked out about that, but it's just so much fun. So that one there, and then the Incredicoaster, which is a wooden roller coaster that's the only big roller coaster at California Adventure. Those are my two favorites over there.
Cool.
Disneyland's a completely different story. I mean, I love Pirates of the Caribbean. That's probably my ultimate favorite attraction. Are we good on time?
Sure. Yeah, no, we're fine. Okay. We could go for two, three hours, whatever you want. I'm easy.
Pirates of the Caribbean is one of my favorites for many reasons. Just the idea of it, It is the last attraction that Walt Disney worked on before he passed away. He did not get to see it finished. Yep. And so knowing he had a hand in that and the ideas of how much it changed, it was supposed to first be a walkthrough attraction. And then like, now it would be too much. So they actually came up with the idea of the boats, which they got the idea of the boats from Small World, because Small World was at the World's Fair. So they said it's a great way to get a lot of people on something. The cool thing about Pirates is that it's underground. It's 75 feet underground. You take two big drops to get underground, which takes you outside of the park proper into two other show buildings, which is just, and then you have the ships in there and everything else, Johnny Depp and the redhead and everything. But I love that one. I love Big Thunder Mountain because Thunder Mountain is great. And I love Haunted Mansion. Haunted Mansion was built at the same time as Pirates of the Caribbean, but it sat there empty for like 10 years because they know what they're going to do with it. Walt had ideas for it. Then they went to the World's Fair. Walt came back. They worked on Pirates and Walt passed away. So then everyone else, you know, gets together, Claude Coates, Mark Davis, Exitensio get together. What the hell are we going to do? So they came up with this idea of, you know, different ideas of to do it, which is what you have today. So, I like Small World. I mean, it's dumb. It's not dumb. It's not, I mean, it's boring and generic, but it's so much fun. I think. I can go on. I could tell you, I like Dumbo. I mean, Peter Pan, Dumbo's
I love, you know, cause in Walt Disney, in Magic Kingdom, when you're on there's two Dumbos, there's one on the left side, there's one on the right side. And when you get up onto the one on the right side when you get up all the way to the top, they have some great views of the castle, like just little snippets of it. And that to me is a really cool moment. And I think, you know, I think what's interesting about, you know, a conversation like this one is it starts to show just how much you love the place when you're like, no, I just love it. I love them all. Like there's not a rare.
You talk about that with, you know, being able to see different views of stuff. Splash Mountain at night is probably the coolest thing, because you're coming up that big drop, and once you're at the top of that drop, if the fireworks are going or Fantasmic's going, you look down and it's right there. So then you can see the fireworks over the castle off to the And now with Galaxy's Edge there, you can see the fireworks from
almost anywhere. That's so cool. No, I think what's interesting about a conversation like that is there had to be someone who was like, well, if we do it this way, everyone will be able to see this at night. And that to me is so incredible, the amount of, and it goes back to the detail conversation, but it's so incredible how much detail and thought goes into a place like this in order to make the magic, make the wonderfulness of what we know and love and care about to kind of stick out. So that's really, really neat.
No, absolutely. I agree with you 1,000% there, bro. So.
Yeah. So then the next question is, because I think, you know, Disney is very well known for their food. So do you have a favorite snack and do you have a favorite place to go eat?
I have to just pick one.
if you've got some favorites, like I'm writing down things as you talk, because when I get there, I'm going to go where Sean goes, because that's the way it goes.
I've heard that, and I don't know if this is true, but Brianna has said this, that the churros are different. And it's in a different park. I don't know if that's the case.
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
I love me a churro. I'm not gonna lie. You walk down the end of Main Street and there's this little red wagon that has they sell corn dogs. It's a $10 corn dog, but it's amazing. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. Oh, restaurant wise, there's the Plaza Inn, which was where Walt always ate. Walt loved fried chicken. So that's good. It's kind of homey food there, like, you know, comfort food. Then in the middle of Main Street is Carnation Cafe, and they have two things there which are really good. They have three. They have Walt's chili, which, because Walt was a huge chili fan, loved chili. They have fried pickles, which you can get anywhere, but I don't know, at Disneyland they just taste better, I think. And then chicken fried chicken.
Chicken fried chicken.
Yes, it's like you know, chicken fried steak, but it's chicken fried chicken.
Interesting.
The most amazing thing. And then My favorite meal there would be at Cafe Orleans, which is the Monte Cristo sandwich, which I just got to try on this a couple of years ago. I'd always heard of it. I'm like, nah, sandwich? Did you dip in the jelly? What the hell is that about? And then, dude, once you do it, it's the best. It's palm free. I think they're called palm free fries or palm fries. man. Okay. That's probably the best meal there, in my opinion. It would be that for sure.
The Monte Cristo. I'm writing that.
Monte Cristo. Yeah, it's the best, man. It's just, yeah, you can buy them anywhere, but like, again, you're there. It just tastes different at Disneyland. So
that's awesome. No, I, like I said, I think, for me, I'm a bigger guy. I love to eat. So yeah. I'm bigger than you.
So you know, I like
to eat. So I thought that this would be sort of fun. And so
you want to hear, I like to stay, cause you had that in your notes too.
Oh yes. Yeah. Where do you like to stay? That's a big question.
Last time we went there was my 25th wedding anniversary. So we decided to do something different. We go with a huge group every time. I plan the trip from the beginning to end. We'll fly in this day. We'll do this day. We'll go to this park this day. We'll park hop this day. It's just how I am. That's just like a control thing in my head. It drives my kids crazy. We usually go 20 people is our group. Wow. Usually. Oh, yeah. So last time we went was in 18 because we were supposed to go in 20, but weren't able to go. But Grand Californian, which I believe is kind of the same thing as or comparable to your Grand Floridian.
Okay.
Grand Californian actually sits where part of it is in Disney's California Adventure. So it's actually, you look out your balcony and there's people walking the walkway.
Interesting.
So we actually got those rooms. I mean, they were not cheap, but it was 100% worth it. It was the best experience I've ever had there, from checking in to checking to your turn down service. Everything was just amazing. But the thing I liked about it at night was, because we were kind of high up and there's a ride there called Grizzly River Run, which is a water inner tube ride. And I will tell you this, that Disneyland and Disney California Adventure are very busy at night. Mm-hmm. because my grandson, when he goes with us, hey, we have to have the window crack a little bit so natural air can come in. Sure. And they're washing the place down. Every light is on in the place. They're testing the rides and you can hear them going off and alarms going off. It's kind of crazy. I think one night I actually just stood outside like at 2 o'clock in the morning and just watched all these people happening. People working. They're fixing lights on the roller coaster. Right down from the left of us was the Soaring over California, yeah, Soaring over the world. Just right down there. Monorail track was right below our room. So yeah, just, it was the coolest thing. Grand California, I would recommend to anyone.
That's really cool. Yeah, I think for me, the thing that would be the coolest about that is what you just talked about, watching them clean up and sort of run.
Oh yeah, it's the coolest thing.
Run all of those diagnostics. That to me sounds really pressure. Cool. Like, I don't know. I don't know if you watched when they switch everything over at night for like the Christmas theming and the Halloween and like that. To me is so incredible that like overnight they have such a huge amount of people that are working to get that done. That to me is so cool. So that to me at night, like staying there to watch that would actually be really, really, really neat.
My daughter, she worked at Hollywood Studios in Florida for like a year and a half with the college program. And she said that, she said, Dad, that was the craziest thing. Yeah. Well, she would leave pretty late at night and she'd walk out and see something, you know, and then she said, I walk in the next morning and it's just completely different. And she said, how do they do that? How many people are here at night? Right. You know? And that from is. What I've read, Disneyland, there's more employees there at night than there are during the day. Just getting ready. So just, horticulture and cleaning and fixing and making sure, testing and everything, you name it, they're doing it. So,
yeah, that's so incredible. Because I think for most of the resorts, I think there's a couple that are really close to Epcot. There are a couple that are really close to Magic Kingdom. There's one that's close to Animal Kingdom, but none of them are so close that you can sort of see the inner workings of everything. They're all sort of separated, whether it be by trees or, you know, waterway or whatever. So there's not a place around Disney World that sort of allows for that, you know,
around what?
Interaction. What? Around the parks.
No, I'm making that. Fun of you. You said Disney World.
Oh, I'm sorry. Walt Disney World.
Dang. Dude, yeah. I've had to change it too. So I'm sorry. I didn't mean to bust your top
floor. Okay. Yeah. No, it's okay. So it is. It's just really interesting, you know, to sort of be able to see something like that. And I think it would be neat. So that's good to know. It's the Grand Californian.
It's like in the middle of everything.
Yeah. No, very, very cool.
Friends, Wolfpack, before we get into this next segment, let's take a brief break. Let's go wash our hands. Let's go work on our homework. Let's go do whatever it is that we need to do. Or maybe we've got to head in the work. We're listening on our ride in. So let's take just a brief moment to sort of pause, do some things that we need to get done, and we will see you real soon.
Wolfpack, a picture is truly worth a thousand words. And one thing we talk a lot about on this show is making sure you remember those vacations with the people that you love. So whether you're coming to Florida to visit Disney or even its surrounding areas, Hinson Photography specializes in vacation portraits for everyone. This is a wonderful souvenir that you and the ones you love will absolutely never forget. Visit Hinson Photography, so that's H-I-N-S-O-N, photography.com, or call 386-478-8099 to learn more about booking vacation portraits with Hinson Photography. Again, that is Hinson, H-I-N-S-O-N, photography.com, or call 386-478-8099 to learn more about the packages that they offer. The Wolf and Wookie, a WDW podcast, is brought to you by Enchanting Escapes by Lori. Lori and her team are there to help you plan your dream vacation. So whether that's Disney, Universal, or any other destination, the Wolfpack can leave the details to them and enjoy the beauty of your destination without the hassle of the planning. Now, I'm sure you're asking yourself, Wolf, why in the world would I want to pay someone to plan my vacation? They're all about giving the tips, the Wolf tips. Well, luckily, it is completely free to utilize their services. Having to pay someone more is a complete misconception. Utilizing the master planning of Lori or one of her team members will actually save you money by always price monitoring and applying deals or promotions to your reservation. They are the ones that have to stay on hold for hours so that way you don't have to. Disney actually pays them to take care of your every travel need. And they're also there to deal with any problem that may arise while you're visiting the park. So instead of spending your valuable time at the front desk, you could be in the parks with your family while Lori is on the phone dealing with any problem. Are you interested in a free quote? Head over to enchantingescapesbylori.com and let Lori start planning your dream vacation today. Again, that's www.enchantingescapesbylori.com. So, with like food in mind, because we were just talking about food, I thought that it would be fun. And we sort of have a running joke amongst ourselves about Wanda, and she is, you know, one of our favorites. But I thought that it would be fun if we gave ourselves, we're both happily married, but I thought it would be fun to give ourselves a hall pass to take the women of the Disney universe out to dinner. Then there's nothing else implied there other than we're going to dinner. So I said to you, think of five.
There's always something else implied.
That's right. And you can think of it that way if you'd like.
No.
But I thought that it would be fun if we could both have five Disney women from the Disney universe. So that's the universe itself. So Star Wars, Marvel, Disney, Pixar, you name it, and take them out to dinner. So I will let you go first. Who are your five women that you're taking out to dinner? And then I'll give you mine. And when you give yours, I'll try to stay away from yours. But I think we've got probably a couple that'll be similar.
Oh, I'm sure. It's kind of tough. I was looking at this last night, and I was looking at the notes, and I was laughing. And my wife says, "What is?" So I'm just reading the notes, trying to figure out how I'm going to answer these questions. And I didn't even tell her what the questions were. So she doesn't listen to the podcast, so I'm not worried about it. But she,
there we go.
I'm just like, what the hell am I going to say? I mean, we obviously know who my number one pick is. And it would be Wanda, because that's like my, you know, yeah. I don't know. Me and Barry argue about this all the time. Barry says she's hot, but, you know, there's other issues he has with her. But, you know, but yeah, she's, I mean, if you listen to, you know, she's crazy for one. So you have that. And if I don't know if you saw the comments on the thing I posted last night. And David's comment,
I maybe missed it, but I know I put one up there.
Yeah, you don't do things crazy. So which was said on my podcast the other night. So yeah, but Wanda, for sure. I think I like Anna. I like Princess Anna. I think she's cool. Okay. She'd be fun to hang out with. Just nice. Kind of because she's kind of, you know, Princess Leia.
Okay. Good answer.
If she's wearing the Return of the Jedi outfit, so yes, that would have to be a must. Just this past couple of weeks, I kind of like Darcy, dude. I'm not gonna lie, Darcy's pretty cool, dude. So I mean, it's just her attitude and her, you know. So
yeah. She's super smart too. That's
smart, which doesn't suck either. And that was four, right? So one more.
Yeah, you got one more.
Do your five and I'll think of my last one. I can't think of a fifth one. So go ahead and do yours.
All right. So I'll do mine. So my first one is Princess Belle. Always loved her. I sort of picture her sort of as my wife. She, you know, my wife is definitely the Belle and I am the Beast to her Belle. My second one is Black Widow. Love Black Widow. I love Scarlett Johansson. I'd take her out to dinner for sure. I also had Princess Leia from, when she's wearing her wonderful costume.
Right.
I also put down, so I was trying to, I knew that you were going to pick Wanda. So I tried to stay away from that one. Although
I would share it.
Yeah. I would take her out to dinner as well. But I did select Gamora from Guardians of the Galaxy. And okay. Yeah. I've enjoyed her since she was in Drumline many, many years ago. And I love her in that movie.
Too. God, that's a good movie.
It is. It's a great film. Definitely. And then for my last one, I put down, and this is probably going to get a little bit of hate, except for from a couple people, but I put down Rey from Star Wars.
I was teetering between Rey and, even though I said I would kill Rey on my Mary kill, but yeah, Rey's, she's cool. She's pretty cool. Yeah.
I would pick her brain for sure. Yeah. I want to learn a little bit more about her.
Yeah. My fifth one I would say would be Captain Marvel. Now that I think about it.
So great selection. Good selection.
Let her and Wanda just hang out together and discuss who really is the strongest. So I thought that was a great nod in the last episode of WandaVision too. That because it's talked about so much is who's
strongest. Who's doing
and they
what?
Actually make good points too. I mean, the fact is she did pick down that ship by herself, and you know, Sam and me and Sam go back and forth about this all the time. Sam tells me that Wanda's a terrible person and going to become the big bad. And I don't think so. I think someone's going to save her. I think Captain Marvel's going to save her. No, I'm throwing that out there. So
I don't think she's going to be bad. I don't.
No.
I think those partially kids are going to. Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I think that something like I think that she can be a mama bear. I think that she's got the potential to get very defensive about her children. I think that there's, you know, some stuff there that may tie into her being not bad. I don't think it's bad. I don't think I can't imagine her as a bad.
Well, that scene when she walked out with the drone, I'm like, damn, that's my girl right there. That's the Scarlet Witch that I'm like, yes, you know, in the outfit, slight accent.
Exactly.
And she's like, that's me.
she wasn't happy with Hayward. She's not happy with him. She don't like him at all. And I think there's some ultimately some big reasons there as well. Mm-hmm. So, Sean, it being close to Valentine's Day, I thought that it would be sweet. And I'm sure that, you know, I know your wife doesn't listen to the podcast, but I'm sure that
she could fall past this.
I thought that it would be sweet to talk a little bit about your story with your wife. I've heard this story now a couple times in a couple different platforms, but I really love the story. And I'd love for you to tell my audience a little bit about it. And then I'll share mine because I don't know that my audience knows all about my love story with. And how does Disney incorporate within it? Because it's Valentine's Day. I thought that we could do something like that.
For sure. So I've been with my wife. I've been with my wife for 32 years now. So I'm 47. So you could do the math. So it's been a while. we're originally from Southern California, and we lived about an hour and 10 minutes away from Disneyland. And for some reason, we just started going to Disneyland every Friday afternoon. We got out of school at 2:30. we were in marching band together, and we never just we never had practice on Fridays for some reason. So unless there was a competition, so we would just go to Disneyland. Mm-hmm. Always with maybe a couple of the friends or something, but we'd always just go to Disneyland, and that's what you know. Every Friday, that back then it was cheap, so yeah. Took an hour to get there. So we get there by four. They closed at midnight, so you had 8 hours in the park. Disneyland at night is the best, you know. Yeah. So yeah, it was basically just that, and then it just that's when I got into like, you know, my love for Walt Disney, and it mm-hmm. brought me and my wife closer. It's I've said this on a few different shows. Disney's the constant in my family. I mean, we got married. I have my two daughters.
Yeah.
Took them there all the time. My kids are all about Disney. I remember times when, you know, we take my daughters down there, and my sons weren't born at this time yet. So I would take them down there, and my younger daughter would get stolen by Donald Duck. And then we have to chase down Donald Duck. Just fun stuff that stuff sticks in. I have pictures of that stuff, and just to see my girl's face when they see Mickey Mouse, or when they go on, even It's a Small World or Pirates, and just who is this man that created all this? And that got me going on, who is this guy that did all this, which created that love for Disney at the same time. So yep. Then my sons were born. Then when my youngest son was born, we moved to Southern Oregon. And I always told myself, well, we're going to go all the time. When we've gone almost every year since we've been here for 16, 17 years now. So we're going to go all the time. We go all the time. And the Disney, like I've said, Disney is the constant in my family. I mean, behind me, there's a picture of Disneyland with the plaque and pictures of Walt Disney. That's for the podcast, obviously. But if you walk through my house, there's one wall that is just all of our Disneyland trips pictures. And it's the biggest wall in our house with just all these different pictures. And in the middle of that is a few ride posters and stuff like that. My bathroom, our main bathroom is completely Disneyland. It's, it's got three or four Disneyland posters from opening, not opening day, but like just back in that era. Sure. The huge wooden Disneyland sign that you can buy for like $200. I have that in there. I have a picture of my wife and I from grad night. I don't know if you know. Do you know what grad night is?
I'm assuming grad night is when you graduated high school.
Grad night in Southern California was cool because we graduated from high school, hopped on buses, and went to Disneyland all night.
Wow.
Yeah. So we took the hour and a half bus drive down there, and we were there from park closed at 11 because it was a little bit, you know. Then we go there till like 8 o'clock in the morning. So and it was all just high school kids that graduated from all over Southern California or wherever they came from. And you know how you get those silhouettes, you know, they cut them out. And my bathroom is a picture of me and my wife when we were in high school that they did at grad night. And then there's pictures of me and my wife, and there's a ticket from Disneyland in my bathroom. So Disney keeps me and my whole family together. It's the constant. There's nothing like walking into Disneyland and watching your, at that time, 2-year-old son absorb Disneyland for the first time and just look around and in awe. My older son is a huge Disneyland fan. My oldest daughter, Jordan, she has two little boys. And I mean, they're both just all about Disney. We watch Disney parades. We watch Fantasmic like every other day. We watch Disney Plus. I've seen Tangled like 10 times in the past week. So it's just anything you think about is in our family is Disney. So that's, if that makes sense. And then my younger daughter, she actually, I'm jealous of her because she got to go. She graduated from the University of Oregon, and she mm-hmm. She signed up for the Disney College program, and she got accepted, and she got to work in Hollywood Studios, and she was one of the drivers on the Great Movie Ride.
Oh wow!
So she was one that won. Yeah. So, if you know Mackenzie, she is not the kind of kid that likes to talk a lot to people, and likes to do any of that stuff, and then. She was telling us how hard this is going to be because there's a huge like 30-page script she has to memorize, and she would have to go to training and learn this and how to be surprised. And then yeah. I've never been on Great Movie Ride, but I guess there's parts where the person gets hijacked or something, and then they wind up going through the inner workings of the back of the ride and come out somewhere else as the hero.
Yeah.
She just said it's the craziest thing. And she's made such big good friends, and I if anyone has a video of my daughter doing that, because there's no video of my daughter being the guide, but I know someone had to. I've watched every video on YouTube to see if I could find her. But now her friends, you know, she has friends. She left and came back, and now is becoming a teacher, so that's cool. Mm-hmm. But she has a few friends there that are still working there, and One of her friends helped open Mickey and Minnie's
Runaway Railway.
Yep. Yeah, he's still there, and she's actually going there. We were supposed to go to Disneyland this March, and we're obviously not going because they're still going to be closed, but she's actually going there in a couple of weeks to go down and hang out with all of her friends that still work there. So
that's cool.
I can keep talking. Yeah, Disney, again, it's our constant. It brings us together. It's our constant community. It's our love of it. Did you see this? Yeah. Did you see that? Me and my son with WandaVision. You watch that? Did you watch this? And it's the love story, not for just me and my wife, but it's a love story for my whole family. You know what I mean? And it brings everything together all the time. And I can go on about my family and I love them all. And, you know, but that's that. So, I mean, yeah, that's it.
That's awesome. Oh, that's a really, really sweet story. And like I said, it's one that I've heard, you know, snippets of, and I've heard, you know, for the most part, but I wanted to share it with my audience because I think, you know, Disney is a constant for sure. And I think it's one of those things that, so I'll tell Jen and I's story a little bit. So we met, she was a manager at a jewelry store that I was working at as well. And we worked at separate locations and we would talk on the phone every once in a while. And I sort of fell in love with her voice at first because I had never seen her. I didn't really know who she was, but she would call my store a lot to ask about different things. She was friends with the store manager at my store. And I can remember thinking, like, I hope she's not 80 because she's got a beautiful voice. And sure enough, you know, like I told my manager at the time, like, wow, I think she's got a beautiful voice. Like, is she beautiful? And is she pretty? And she's like, yeah, she's actually really good looking. And I think that you'd actually really get along. And sure enough, one day that her store needed some coverage. And she sent me over there to work. And I actually was covering for Jen. So I basically met Jen in a flash, like, hi, how are you? Thanks for coming. I'm leaving now. And it was like, okay, well, that was fun. You are very pretty. Like, if you ever need me again, I'm here.
The hint right there to start. Nice job.
I try. and then sure enough, I mean, like, I want to say a couple of days later, I was back and we were interacting. We exchanged phone numbers and before, you know, we're texting one another on a frequent basis. And then I would say it was, she had a Disney trip planned in March and she was going to go by herself. And she's like, you can come if you want. And I said, to a kid's park? No, I sort of had this connotation. I went to Walt Disney World twice. And I sort of had that connotation that it was a kid's park. And she's like, well, you can think that all you want, but I'm going in March and you can come if you want to. So I said, well, I really like this girl. I'm going to go. And we went, it was about a week before my birthday, and she told me, hey, I know it's not official your birthday, but it's close enough, put on this Disney pin. So put it on sort of reluctantly. I was sort of like, you know, I don't really want to do this, but all of a sudden, all these cast members were like, happy birthday, Ethan. Happy birthday. I felt like the king of the world, and I just felt like the coolest guy in town. And sure enough, I mean, we stayed at Pop Century's Resort and I fell in love with her on that trip because she opened my eyes to being a kid, having fun, interacting with the characters and experiencing the different rides. It was just such an incredible trip. We went back, we moved in with each other almost maybe a month later. And then, I mean, the rest is history. We fell in love at Disney World. I truly believe that. And Jen is definitely, you know, the collector. You know, you talk about all the things you have that are Disney. I've got a whole underneath my TV, I've got all these figurines that she's bought through the years. You know, we've got Mickey and Minnie holding their tickets, you know, to go to Disney. And it's just Disney has sort of become our constant. It wasn't necessarily when we started dating or courting each other, but it certainly has become our constant. You know, every month Jen says, can we go to Disney World, Walt Disney World? And, you know, usually I'm just like, all right, let's figure it out. We'll figure something out. So we went in January, we're going to go, we have another trip planned in February in a couple weeks. So she would go at least one weekend every month if we could. So we decided when we got married, so we got married on October 7th of 2018, and we went to Disney World for our honeymoon. We stayed at Pop Century, which is where it all kind of started for us. And during that trip, we decided to purchase the DVC for each other. That was our first like big gift for one another. And we said, you know, if we ever want to have a family, this is probably where we're going to end up. So we might as well sort of invest into it and be a part of that clan and that crew. And that's for us is our Disney story. And we'll continue to be there and love it as much as possible. So
nice.
Yeah.
Good Sean, stuff, man.
Good stuff from you. Are you kidding? Yeah. Thank you so much for hanging out with me today. We're recording this on Super Bowl Sunday. Do you have any predictions for tonight's game?
I think I'm a Raider fan, so I can't root for the Chiefs. So I'm not a big Tom Brady fan because you know that whole Tuck rule thing, but you know, but you gotta respect the hell out of Tom Brady, dude, because if he wins, it's 7th Super Bowl, which is 7. Yeah, I hope that I'm rooting for them because I love Gronk too. So, you know, if I had a second favorite team, it would have been the Patriots. So I still, you know, my son is a huge Patriots fan and was crushed when Tom Brady left. But, you know, that he sits the Cam Newton era now, but that's not even happening. I don't think so.
Yeah. I certainly, I felt his pain. I get it.
Being
right down the road from Foxborough Stadium, it's not that far away from where we are. I get that. It was disheartening to see him go, but at the same time, it's good to see him still succeeding in a way. I don't have as much distaste for it as a lot of the other people that are in my circle and in the area. So it's one of those things where I'm rooting for Tom because I know how much, you know, discredit he got early in his career, like the 199th pick. He's slow. He's not fast. He's easy to knock over. So I'm rooting for Tom. I love Gronk. Gronk's probably one of my favorite dudes in the whole NFL.
He's great.
Yeah. So I'm rooting for Tom Brady. I'm more importantly, I'm rooting for my numbers to hit tonight.
There you go.
in our little pool here at work. So, but Sean, thank you so very much for hanging out with me. Let the Wolf Pack know again where they can find you. You've got a number of different things, but it's all through Walt's apartment.
All this. Walt's Apartment Podcast is our main show. It's our live stream that we do every Wednesday night on Facebook at 6:30 p.m. and 9:30 Eastern time. We also have Force Friday, hosted by Amber and Jade, which is every other Friday. We have the Extra Magic Hour, which is hosted by myself, Sean Nyberg, Brianna, and Sam. Every in between the Force Fridays. Then we have, I'm trying to think of, the Marvel Tribe we have, which covers all things Marvel, which is myself, David, Sam. Bill will join every now and then. This week it'll be Bill and Barry. So I don't know. David wants a big crowd. So he said that as long as the tribe keeps getting bigger, he doesn't care. So that's David's show. We just kind of support him. But yeah, check us out. Again, Ethan, I appreciate you, your friendship, reaching out to me to do this. You've been awesome. You've been a huge support through all this too. So I can't thank you enough for all you've done for me personally and just for all of our shows. So you're the man. I really appreciate you.
No, I appreciate you guys too. Like I said, usually Wednesday is one of my roughest days at work. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's because I normally have Tuesday off. And when I go in on Wednesday, it's just one of those things where Wednesday night when I get home, I usually get home right around 9 o'clock. And when 9:30 hits and Walt's apartment pops up on my phone, it's my little escape. It's my opportunity to sort of hang out with a group of like-minded people that enjoy something. That's for sure. Well, I truthfully enjoy it. It takes me away for a little while, and it's something, like I said, I get to enjoy. And like I said, roughest day, it's usually my roughest day at work, and I can relax. I can put your voices on. I can listen and I can giggle and laugh. And between you and I'll be honest, like Amber and Jade's Force Friday is probably one of my favorite shows of yours. Yeah. They really do just such, and I've told her this, you know, personally, it's such a phenomenal show. They're so crazy intelligent about that stuff. They know everything about it. And, to me, that's just so incredible because I love Star Wars, but I love hearing how people enjoy it to that next level. So.
Oh yeah. That's crazy. And like, you know, speaking of Amber, I met her because when the DCast was going, we actually hosted a cosplay. We were like part hosts of a cosplay event here in the town we live in. And I never met Amber before that. And I saw her and she goes, "Hey, you're the DCast guy." And I just kind of saw her and she's walking through dressed as Ray. I'm like, "What?" Yeah. And then we went to see, I think it was the last Star Wars movie together. Yeah. The DCast went and Amber came. And that's right before she joined us. She came in full cosplay into a movie. I'm like, who is this girl? She's great. And like I said, the knowledge they all have, it absolutely blows my mind to,
yeah.
I think Jade's like, you know, Jade, I think Jade's a maybe 18, 19. I don't know how old she is. I know she's pretty young, knows everything.
Yeah.
Sean, you know, who is just, he's like the comic relief, and it you know, he told me, it takes a while for me to break through. And I'm like, well, I think you've done it now. So if you've listened to our show, Brianna, her knowledge of everything, Tim, who's not on that often because of scheduling, but he's like behind the scenes with me. Huge Disney guy too. David, obviously loving, you know, and then Sam bringing everything home with just, you know, with her podcast Disology, which I think is one of the coolest podcasts formats out there, if anything. Just the way the ideas they come up with is just like, wow, who would think of talking about that? You right. know, the debate about the, you know, I'm the
again, all presidents. Yeah. It was good. It was really good. I agree.
Well, she's so mad at you because you picked Rachel, but I'm just saying. So
I agreed with her. I agreed with Rachel. She made some good points.
So. My team, my team is everything, and they are just, I'm so grateful for all of them. And you have a good team over there too. Congratulations. We haven't talked like personally since all that. So congratulations on being part of all that. And you guys are building something big.
We're trying. We're trying because I think, you know, for us, it's you sort of hit on it earlier. It's so much easier when you have a team of people that are behind you to help you. And it certainly has made my job just a little bit easier in terms of promoting, in terms of getting my voice out there. And it really has made, you know, help finding an audience a little bit easier. And it's awesome. You know, we have a good crew with us as well. And, you know, and if nothing else, what I love so much is this platform has allowed us to sort of collaborate with folks like you who also has a great team, and we can bounce ideas off of one. I mean, there have been plenty of opportunities for us to bounce ideas off of one another, just you and me. Yep. And, you know, I really have enjoyed that and really have respected that. And not only that, but we work in the same sector. So it's like, you know, we talk about other things rather than just Disney. It really has provided just an awesome opportunity for friendship. I consider you a friend. I care about you. I care about, you know, how everything's going out there for you. I do hope that you can get back to Disneyland real soon. And it really has been a lot of fun getting to know you. And I really appreciate it. So, as always, Wolfpack, I hope that you continue to be kind, wash your hands, and we will see you real soon.